Welcome to the Fantasy Faithful podcast. We promise it's better than a meaningless last minute goal ruining your clean sheet. I'm your host, Steve McGovern. I'm joined by my number two in the dugout, Harry Diamond Geezer. Diamond, Harry, how's it going?
Yeah, very well, mate. I'm all good. Just gearing up for what I expect to be two big game weeks in FPL.
As I alluded to there in the intro, I was talking about Man City having their clean sheet wiped out by Callum Hudson-Odoi. And when I had John Stones and yeah, my clean sheet was gone. But then you had a similar heartache with James Justin this past weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, he disappeared from three bonus and a clean sheet to getting booked and conceding in a matter of seconds, really.
What people don't know is that this is literally your fault. You texted me and said, like, wasn't it you texted me about James Justin? And I think he was on for bonus. He had the clean sheet. He got a yellow card. And then literally moments later, Andy Carroll scored like a brilliant strike. And then all that went from like 9-1 in the matter of a minute.
Yeah, I think I should probably apologise to all the Justin owners out there for tempting fate with that one.
I have to be honest, I celebrated that one. So it's probably karma for me. That's what the Hudson-Odoi goal was. It was just karma. But we're recording this actually on a Monday night ahead of the Liverpool-Southampton game. But we're not going to focus on game week 18 when there's the blank fixtures because I think many of our listeners will be listening to this after the deadline. So we're just going to look at game week 19 and the essential players to have for all those double fixtures, because it's just like, it's like Christmas, man. It's like Christmas, like so many players on a double game week. So this will be really handy if you're on a free hit or a wild card for a game week 19. Last week, Surya from All About FPL joined us to talk about some of the best options for game week 19. But we were mainly talking about chip strategies as well. And that was before we knew Man City, Villa and Man United would be playing a second fixture. That totally changed the dynamic, really. And it ruined a lot of people's plans, especially those who had like saved their wild card until very, very late in the day. So we're just going to run through some of those players in relation to that. Has the rescheduled fixtures changed your plans at all, Harry? Has it put a spanner in your works, or has it kind of helped you?
I think it's helped me more than anything. My plan was to drip players into my team that were playing in the blank game week and then free hit for the double. So United playing in the blank has given me Bruno, who I wasn't going to have, which is obviously a bonus the way he's playing. And then obviously increases the options for the double game week and the free hit. There's so many players to choose from.
Yeah, loads of options now. And yeah, it's very possible now without a free hit or any other kind of chip to field the team in game week 18 now, because like I said, those three teams are now playing and they also have two matches in game week 19 as well. So you could ostensibly fill your team with a lot of those players and not have to use any chips and still have them the next week. So we just want to give some tips actually now before, just some general tips for managers before the double game week starts, because I think it's important to have these in your head before doing something rash. So the first thing I would say is hold off on any transfers until as late as possible. We've seen now, like especially with the Fulham Spurs game, that was called off very late in the day. Burnley Fulham was called off on the Saturday when the game was meant to take place on the Sunday. And I know there were people who brought in Burnley players, and I actually think some Burnley players actually might not be the worst idea at the minute, but that was just spanner in the works for so many people. And in that same kind of train of thought, don't activate a chip just willy-nilly. You might need them later in the season with more double game weeks and blank weeks. And if there's further postponements, you might just be like, right, I actually have to use a free hit now or a wild card now. So if you're going to, just make sure you've thought it through and you've got a strategy and a plan for that particular week. If you're going to activate your chip, maybe hold off, just see how things go, because with the way things are at the minute, matches could be postponed at any moment. And again, be careful when you're captaining. Do not captain and vice captain two players from the same team, because if you do that and then if that team isn't playing, you're screwed. You don't have a captain that week. And just be wary of tripling up on any given team, because if that team is out, we saw that with Man City, Everton. A lot of people had triple City just gone. There's three players gone from your team. So maybe just be careful about tripling up and have a strong bench. Anything there you'd disagree with, Harry, or maybe add to?
No, I think that's sensible advice. I got burned. I've got triple Spurs at the moment in my side. So their game being called off cost me, really. But I think planning ahead is crucial this time. I think these two game weeks could have a big say in the season, having a blank and a huge double so close together.
I could hear the exasperation in your voice there. You're like, oh, Spurs. Like, just terrible, really. But, I mean, look, they'll have a double game week again somewhere down the line. So at least you have that to look forward to if you still have those Spurs players. But yeah, we're now just going to run through every team that has two matches in game week 19. So we'll just go basically team by team, look at the best options, who really should we prioritize in our thinking. I think first up, Harry, is Manchester United. They've got Liverpool and Fulham. Again, asterisks on these because Fulham, who knows what's going to happen. I think it'll be fine because how many days away is that? That's a good while away, I think, that Fulham game. So I think should be fine to go ahead. Man United are joint top of the league, Harry, haven't you heard?
Yeah, I've been having this debate. Joint top, aka second, as we'll have it.
No, are Liverpool joint second then? Liverpool are in second place. Is that how it works?
Liverpool are first. Liverpool are first and Manchester United are second. But yeah, they're jigging along nicely, aren't they?
Very nicely. Over the last 10 game weeks, no team has scored more goals. They've got 24. And no team has won more than their 26 points. They are going along very nicely. And I feel like this has kind of just creeped up on us all of a sudden. Oh, wow. Man United are like the form team in the league. And given that stat I just said, 24 goals in 10 game weeks. Should we be prioritising attack over defence with Man U?
Yeah, I think so. They've actually conceded more goals than any other team in the top half at the moment. So I think attack's definitely the right way forward with United. And I would say that they are the form team in the league. They've won 8, I think, of those 10 games unbeaten to just fly up the league, haven't they? The one thing I would say is their two fixtures, obviously they face Liverpool away in the first one. Liverpool unbeaten in, what is it, nearly 4 years at home.
Yeah.
Though I do think there could be goals in that game. And the second, we don't know what's happening with Fulham and improving Fulham as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they're attacking players. Bruno is obviously the standout pick. He's a must-have, I think, for the entire season, the way he's playing. He seems to rack the points up even when he's playing terribly. So Bruno, the standout. But I think Martial and Rashford are both good options as well for anyone who may even want to double up.
Yeah, it was funny, wasn't it, the last day against Aston Villa. Paul Pogba was probably the best player on the pitch. Maybe, you know, you could argue Jack Grealish really was, but you know, Pogba was I think probably the best United player on the pitch. But it's Bruno Fernandes that ends up with the fantasy returns. That's just the nature, I think, of the two players' kind of respective games, like how they play. Bruno is just always going to be involved in goals and assists. So he's definitely at the top of everyone's list. Marcus Rashford is, I think, a bit of a cheaper alternative. He's got 5 goals in his last 7 games. So I think he should definitely be on the radar if you want somebody just a little bit cheaper. But Anthony Martial is actually the one that intrigues me the most. In the last 4 game weeks, he has 1 goal and 3 assists. So in that time, he has led the league among forwards for assists, big chances created, and expected assists. And he's also had 10 chances, 7 of which have come from inside the box. Like, he only has 1 goal, but I'm quite surprised by his creative numbers, actually. Like, he's doing a little bit of a Harry Kane on it. And like I said, Man United, 11 goals in the last 4 games. So they're on form up front at the minute. So Martial, I think, is definitely in contention there. He's definitely in the conversation to be included in your free hit or wildcard team.
Yeah, I like Martial, and I think he's a bit of a streaky player as well. I think once he clicks, he tends to go on a bit of a run. Martial's actually a player I think I'm considering for maybe after the double game week. I'm not sure how much I fancy United in the Liverpool game. I don't think they've won at Anfield for 5 years. So yeah, the record's not that great at Anfield in recent years, which worries me for piling up for the double game week. But I think United's forwards players are definitely interesting if you're doing a wild card going forward.
Yeah, 100%. I think maybe double game week isn't the most attractive, as you say, but they are on form at the minute. And I mean, this game's a title decider, right? Like that's pretty much how it is at the minute, I think, if you look at where the two teams are. But look, moving on, we'll go to the other team in Manchester, and we're talking about City, who have Crystal Palace and Aston Villa. So two decent fixtures. Aston Villa, very good team at the minute. Palace have conceded quite a few goals lately, so there's potential there. Basically, I want to ask, is Kevin De Bruyne essential? great performance versus Chelsea. His underlying stats are still brilliant. You know, even though he did have a good few blanks there, he came back with a goal and assist against Chelsea. So, yeah, is he essential?
I would say so, yeah. He's definitely right at the very top of my thinking for the double game week. He's still leading the league for expected assists per 90 so far this season. And he's interested to see him play in that more advanced role against Chelsea. I'm not sure if that's something that Pep's going to stick with as he eases Aguero back. Obviously, Jesus is out at the moment with COVID. I also think that with City, they are looking good at the moment and their assets are attractive, but there's always that risk of Pep roulette with the rotation, yeah, especially a double game week. But the safest bet I think you could have to play both games would probably be Kevin De Bruyne or Ruben Dias.
Yeah, I think those are two solid picks. I think KDB might just be one you have to... I think you might need to have KDB over Bruno. I don't know. I don't feel easy saying that, but maybe that's the way to go. City's attack hasn't been, you know, on fire as it has been in previous seasons. It's definitely a much more dulled attack. But again, they looked really good against Chelsea. And I think Phil Foden, it was another option for game week 19. I think City look better with him than they do with Ferran Torres. And I think he's worth looking at if you can't afford or you don't want to spend all that money on KDB. I think Phil Foden is a great alternative. He's had a weird lack of games this season. He was starting them all in the first like 5 or 6 weeks. Now he can barely get minutes on the pitch, but he started against City and he was really, really good. So I would be surprised if Pep takes him out of the team. I think they need to start him. He's only 6.2 million. Unbelievable price. 3.6% ownership. And he got a goal and an assist against Chelsea. So really great game. So he's back in form now. He is a really good option. But like I said, I think defense might be the way to go. You said Ruben Dias. Is double defense an option here? Is that I think, maybe the wisest move? Because I think you're looking at, like I said, Ruben Dias, John Stones, João Cancelo. One or more may be dropped, and having a double, or even some people are going triple defense. Having more than one of them might be good to just add some insurance, I suppose.
Yeah, I quite like the double up, although I think if I was going to go for it, I would probably go goalkeeper defender rather than two defenders. Okay. I just
Ederson was out, you know, at
yeah, well, we'd have to wait and see how Ederson comes back, or if he does come back in time for the double game week. But I would worry about the defenders and perhaps rotation. I think Diaz is the safest bet. If I was gonna double up, I think I'd lean towards goalkeeper defender.
Do you know what? If you're on a free hit for the blank, Zach Steffen in net for Man City on a free hit, that's the way to go, I think. That's the player you want. But yeah, I've got John Stones. Like I said, I'm considering getting Diaz or Cancelo in, but that might mean selling someone like Andy Robertson. So I don't know if I want to do that, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe I'll do something crazy with my team. Yeah, so I think that covers City. And the next one I have on my list is Aston Villa, who have Man City and Everton. Not an amazing set of fixtures. I think that's quite tough. Everton haven't been great lately, but you know, they've still been able to pull out some good results. And then obviously Man City, they seem to be back on form. If City win their game in hand, this is essentially their game in hand, isn't it? Like, coming up, they'll be 1 point behind Liverpool. They're motoring along nicely. It's a really tough ask for Aston Villa to get anything out of this. But in terms of the players that we should be looking at for Villa, I assume you're going to offer up Ollie Watkins as a pick.
Yeah, I've actually taken him out of my team now, but I do like Ollie Watkins.
You do like Ollie Watkins, don't you?
Yeah, I think
you like the concept of Ollie Watkins.
Yeah, rather than the returns, I think you're right. Yeah, I like when watching him play. I think he's been a really good signing for Aston Villa, but I think he's been so frustrating as an FPL asset. Yeah. Just we've talked about him before, haven't we, with the margin goals and the missed penalties and missed chances recently. But he's got the third highest non-penalty XG in the league this season, behind Patrick Bamford and Calvert-Lewin. And I think I always do like to have a player that I think certain start. I think Watkins is. Yeah. But I'm a little bit torn with Aston Villa on this double game week and their fixtures. Jack Grealish is the one for Aston Villa, isn't he? Yeah. His stats this season are just unreal. And I think with the two difficult fixtures that they've got, he is the way to go if you want to cover Aston Villa. I'm not so sure they're going to be massive returners against Everton and City.
So just on Watkins, right? The last five games, he's had 19 chances. Now that's the second most in the league. It's joint with Bamford, actually. And another player who I'll mention in a minute has the most, but I'll get back to that. He's had 7 shots on target, 18 in the box. Again, that is the most in the league. 18 shots in the box. So 18 of his 19 shots in the box. That's amazing. And 4 big chances. Again, it's right there up at the top of the league in terms of Premier League players over the last 5 game weeks. So the chances are there. He is getting opportunities, but he has scored no goals in that time. It's really astounding. And I think you've had him over that period. I think you've been so unlucky, you and everyone else who's owned Ollie Watkins. So, so unlucky, because the chances have been there. He's just fluffed his lines. But you mentioned Grealish. I think he's a great option. I'm not sure if he's as consistent enough points-wise as he should be. So you might be able to get away without having him this week. And the one that I would offer up is Anwar El Ghazi. In fact, he has the most shots of anyone in the past 5 game weeks with 26 shots. This man is a left winger and he's had 26 shots, 15 on target, 14 in the box, and he has 4 goals. Nobody else has more goals over that period than Anwar El Ghazi, and he's only 5.8 million. It's unbelievable that this guy, he's averaging 7.3 points per game over the past 5 game weeks. He has more shots, like I said. No one can better his goals. No one can better his big chances, 5, or his expected goals, which is 3.31 XG. Again, tough fixtures, but if you wanted to throw, especially if you're using a bench boost, this is a perfect guy to have as like your 4th or 5th midfielder, and you have him on your bench, and he might get something in either of these games. And so I think he's amazing value. I might actually even replace Grealish with him, because at the minute El Ghazi looks more reliable nearly returns wise. And Villa just seem to be keep creating chance after chance after chance. So he keeps popping up in the box. If he keeps doing that, you know, I don't think I can ignore him. But anyway, moving on to a team that me and Surya gave a lot of love to last week, and that is West Ham United, Harry. They've got Burnley and West Brom. I mean, these are the most attractive fixtures of any team in game week 19. Last week, I suggested Seb Haller, but you are really liking the look of Mikel Antonio, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I just think that Haller has not been great. I don't think he doesn't offer West Ham the same threat that Antonio does. He's a little bit static, and you know, Antonio's all action, he's all over the pitch, and I think he completely changes the way West Ham play. So I think him returning to fitness will see him swiftly go back into the team, and I'm sure FPL managers remember how well he ended last season. I think these could be the perfect fixtures for him to get hit this season really up and running.
Yeah, I'm looking at Sebastian Haller's numbers now, and he's blanked in the last 4 game weeks. He only has 3 goals off the season. So, don't go near him. Yeah, maybe Antonio. I suppose this question marks over, will he play every minute? He's only had 44 minutes in the last 2 games. So will he start? Is he fit enough? Big question marks for me. So I personally won't be going for Mikel Antonio, but I definitely see the temptation there is with him. Thomas Suchek, for me, he's just already attained FPL legend status. He's brilliant in the air. He's just fantastic. And he's only, 5.3 million, I think. Just a great, great option. 5.2 million, actually. So even better. He has 77 points at the minute. His price will go up very soon, though. So probably by tomorrow, he'll be even more expensive. And I think, he's definitely one you need in your team. These fixtures are unbelievable. So get him. And in defense, I think you got to look at Aaron Cresswell and Soufal, who's a more of a budget option. Cresswell has been getting lots of assists lately. He's a very creative player. And Soufal is just a great value. But we talked about them on the last podcast. So we'll move on anyway to Leicester City, who I think is very intriguing option. Harry, they've got Southampton and Chelsea. Not the easiest fixtures on paper, but the matchup might be very nice here, considering how these two teams play. So for me, Jamie Vardy is definitely a player I'm looking at in terms of if I want to keep Harry Kane or not. It'll be for Jamie Vardy if I'm gonna get rid of him on my free hit. I mentioned last week that he might be a cheeky kind of differential captain in these games, because I could see him punishing these two teams, especially the kind of high line of Southampton. Chelsea aren't quite as extreme in that sense, and they've got a good keeper. So I don't know if he'll have the same opportunities against the Blues, but what do you think of that? Do you think that's a good suggestion, or am I just being a bit foolhardy?
No, I agree. I've been thinking exactly down the same lines. I can see Vardy getting joined both games, to be honest. Chelsea are just out of sorts at the moment, aren't they? I know stylistically their defence may not be as suited to Vardy, but his record against the big teams is unbelievable, isn't it? And what I like with Vardy is he is certain to start. If he's fit, he's playing both games, and I fancy him to return. I think he's definitely in my thoughts to bring in. I also like the look of James Maddison and Harvey Barnes. Maddison seems to be getting back to his best at the moment. I think it's now 5 returns in his past 6 games, which is really good. I feel like he's become a little bit of a forgotten figure when in terms of England talk, and I think he's reminded everyone in the last few weeks how good a player he really is as that creative force playing in behind Vardy.
It is crazy, and you know, a sign of the times, I think, for England, that James Maddison really isn't in the conversation for being involved in the England setup. And you kind of can't really argue with it, because I don't know if he gets in ahead of the players that are in front of him right now, but you know, he is on form, scored against Newcastle. Harvey Barnes, again, slightly cheaper, 4.1% ownership, and he scored in 2 of his last 3 games. So again, on form, he's getting into great positions, and I think he'll get at least 1 goal out of these next 2 games. But moving on then to Leeds United, who have Brighton and Southampton. So they've got 2 South Coast teams. I know you like the look of Leeds. What is your thinking with regards to them? Because, I mean, they've got a lot of options in pretty much every position. You could realistically triple up with a player from defence, midfield and up front, and that wouldn't really look too ridiculous.
Yeah, I have been tempted by doubling up and tripling up on Leeds, but I think a sensible head would probably avoid it. They are either brilliant, they get exposed, don't they, really?
Mm-hmm.
I think
these are 2 good fixtures for them, because top 6, they tend to not be able to compete. But against everyone else, they're very capable of scoring multiple goals. So
yeah, blown quite a few teams away, haven't they? I think the forward options are definitely the right route to go down. Bamford is obviously owned by a ridiculous number at the moment, and with good reason, the season he's having. But I also look quite like Jack Harrison. He seems to get a lot of grief from the Leeds fan base if you look on social media. I think it could be quite frustrating, but if you actually look at the numbers he's produced this season, yeah, he ranks 5th in the whole of the Premier League for expected assists, and he's priced at just 5.4 million, which I think could be great value if you're looking to bring in Leeds players for the double game week.
Yeah, I think if you look across that squad, there's a lot of great options. I would say, if I was to give you now my 3 suggestions for Leeds players, I would say in defence, Stuart Dallas, in midfield, Rafinha, and then up front, obviously, Patrick Bamford, who I think I'm going to do it, Harry. I'm finally going to get Bamford in. I'll get him in on this fucking free hit team. And then I'll finally broken the seal, and I'll have him in. So you won, Patrick. Hope you're happy. What a sad little life you live.
But I hope now you spend it on getting some lessons in grace and decorum, because you have all the grace of a reversing dump truck without any tyres on.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. I've avoided him all season, just thinking that, being convinced that he's going to stop scoring. But if you just look at all the underlying stats and just the way this Leeds team play, like, any striker who is looking for a club next season must be looking at Leeds and thinking, I want to go and play there.
Yeah,
they just carve teams open, don't they? And he's obviously reaping the rewards.
And it's exactly, you know, like when you're younger and you're playing on a team, and your manager is kind of insistent, well, we have to learn team shape, we have to learn how to play as a team, we have to learn passing, we have to learn defending and all this. And you kind of want to know, it's like, okay, but how do we play fun football? Like, how do we play fun attacking football? Like, teach us. Tell us how to, because that's all we want to play. And you're kind of like, your young, naive mind doesn't realize it's not always like that. And it takes a lot of time to become like a real attacking machine. And Leeds are that team that every kid wants to play in. Do you know what I mean? They're just all out attack all the time. They're barely ever in a boring game. The only boring game they were involved in this season was Burnley. And that was Burnley, so we'll let them away with it. But yeah, unbelievable. And just another point, though, I mean, like, they're playing Brighton, who have had a lot of struggles in front of goal. So I think everyone assumes that Brighton won't score, but they did put 3 past Wolves. So maybe they're finally finding their scoring boots there. So there might not be a guaranteed clean sheet. Anyway, we'll move on to another exciting team, and that's Southampton. And they are playing Leeds, and they're also playing Leicester. So I think these are going to be 2 really interesting games. I'm really psyched to see Raf Hasenhüttl go up against Marcelo Bielsa. These 2 games, I'd probably avoid defenders, but Ings and Shea Adams are certainly very attractive options, aren't they?
Yeah, I've been considering Ings. I think there's definitely that Leeds Southampton game has got goals written all over it. I think it's going to be really good for the neutrals to watch. Yeah. And Ings is pretty much as reliable as they come in terms of FPL goals when he's fit. So I would lean towards Ings if I'm going for a Southampton play for this double game week, if you can squeeze him in.
If there was anybody I would fancy to get a couple of goals in these fixtures, it is Danny Ings. If it turns out that Shea Adams is fit, those two are definitely on the table. And then we're just left with a couple of other teams now who I don't know if there's a lot to say about them. But we'll start with West Bromwich Albion. Big Sam's West Brom. And I do have a suggestion, Harry, believe it or not.
Okay.
And it's not Sam Johnston. It is Dara O'Shea, because he's 4.3 million. So Dara O'Shea, obviously they have two games coming up in game week 19. They've got Wolves, who are missing Raul Jimenez, and they've got West Ham, which is a very tricky fixture, and I don't think they'll keep a clean sheet. But he's 4.3 million. I think he's a good enabler. And I was kind of thinking, oh, maybe I could get him in as just an extra defender. But then I saw his points. And do you know how many points he has, Harry?
How many?
Dara O'Shea, Irish international, has 11 points for the season.
Wow.
11 points. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I was like, they played about 17 games and he somehow has 11 points. He did miss a good chunk, to be fair, kind of between game week 5 and game week 10. He missed about 5 games. But otherwise, you look at his points and it's like 1, 0, 1, 1, 2, 1, 1, 2, 1, 1, 0, 0. It's just unbelievable. And Big Sam has not shored them up the way you would think he would. That was my suggestion. And I have very quickly disabused myself of it. But Sam Johnston, if you have a bench boost activated and you need a second goalie, Sam Johnston, I think, is a fair enough option. He's 4.5, so he's very cheap. And he has the most saves of any goalkeeper in the Premier League so far this season with 73. So you'll definitely get save points at the very least, if nothing else. But moving on to other relegation candidates, Sheffield United, don't think there's much to say. Fulham, anything here?
I personally will not be going towards Fulham. Okay. For the double game week. I mean, each to their own, I'm sure. You want to bang the drum for them, but yeah, they're not on my wish list at the moment.
No, I don't think so. And then I've left Chelsea till last, because to be honest with you, I'm not feeling them right now. I sold Ben Chilwell for John Stones, which was a difficult enough decision for me because I was thinking, like, do I really want to get rid of Chilwell? He seems to always be involved in attacks and getting in the right areas. But I just felt that Man City's defense right now is too good to pass up. And I was nearly rewarded with a clean sheet. But at least John Stones still got twice as many points as Ben Chilwell, 2-1. I mean, what about you? Are you feeling them at all? Is there anybody here that you would consider? Because I don't know. It just doesn't seem like Chelsea are a great option FPL-wise.
No, I don't think they are either at the moment. I don't think Lampard knows his best team. I don't think they're playing well. I don't think the fixtures are actually that great for double game week. They play Fulham away, who have been improving and will obviously be up for that one.
We'll smash
and then
them.
And then they'll go to Leicester and get smashed there as well. So.
Oh my God. I would just love it. I would love it if we like won like 3-0 and then that was it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back and Frank Lampard got sacked. Like, oh God.
Might be famous last words, but I actually think Fulham, the way that the style they're playing now and the way they've improved could... I don't think that's a team that you want to play against when you're out of sorts and lacking confidence.
We're going to win the league. We're going to do it. No, the only problem with Fulham is that we just can't seem to score enough goals. We're really lacking at the minute. So maybe we'll fix that in the transfer window this month. But with Mitro acting the ham on Christmas, with partying with Milivojevic, I don't know if he's going to be playing anytime soon. But so Chelsea, just put them in the dustbin for the minute until... they start improving or get a new manager. Right, we'll just rattle through the last few bits here. And we might as well talk about players who are only going to have one game in game week 19. And it's hard to ignore Son Heung-min and Harry Kane versus Sheffield United, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think double game weeks, everyone tends to lump on players playing twice. Obviously, it's a double chance. But I think Son and Kane could easily score as many points as players playing twice this week. Sheffield United look like they could potentially be the worst team that's ever played in the Premier League. They could break that derby record the way they're playing. And we've seen what Son and Kane can do to teams. If you're not using a chip, I wouldn't be rushing to get rid of those two just because they're playing once. Not at all.
great point. The only thing I would say is that Sheffield United, like, it's funny, if they did break that record of the least point, I still would say that Derby were a worse team, because Sheffield, it's not like they're performing like a hell of a lot worse than they were last season. It's just that things aren't going for them right now. I think last season they got as much as possible out of their attacking players in terms of returns. You obviously had John Lundstrom, who was just like Superman for some reason, and you're not getting that this season. And then as well, they swapped Dean Henderson for Aaron Ramsdale, and it's just not the same level of goalkeeping there at all. Like, when you have that big of a swing, it affects results, and I didn't think it would affect it this drastically. And at the same time, they're only losing games by one or two goals at most. They're not conceding a lot. However, they aren't like sitting in and parking the bus. They are still playing their defensive line fairly high up, and I think that could be a recipe for disaster against these two players. On a normal week, you would 100% be captaining one of these in a game like this. If there was only single matches for every team, you would be captaining one of these two players in this match, I think, given the matchup, given the tactics of the respective teams. So in that case, it's entirely reasonable to have one or both of those players for this week. And the other teams, they're only playing one match: Wolves, Everton, Brighton. There's no one there that really catches the eye, is there?
I think Wolves defenders maybe for West Brom at home. I don't see West Brom troubling a Wolves team that tend to be organised for the most part. I know they ship through at Brighton, but they tend to be fairly solid. So maybe if you've got a Wolves defender and you're not using a chip, then leave them in. But yeah, I wouldn't be rushing to jump on any of those teams.
And finally, we just want one differential from you for game week 19. Everyone's going to be going for the same players. Everyone is obviously going to be taking all the players that we just mentioned there, right? You know, they're going to be taking our advice and filling their teams with those players. But who is a player with low ownership that could make the difference?
I mentioned him the last time that I was on, and we'll have to wait and see how City's next couple of games go. Sergio Aguero could be the one.
Ooh, Sergio Aguero, even though obviously Kevin De Bruyne is the new hotshot centre forward.
Yeah, I just think they're easing him in, as they should be with the injuries he's had.
Yeah.
And there is that massive risk that he won't play both games, but City playing twice at home with Aguero in the team, I think he could be. And he's only owned by 1.6%.
And it's worth noting, actually, that Man City's fixtures coming up are brilliant. Game week 18, they got Brighton. Double game week, they got Crystal Palace, Aston Villa. And then after that, they've got West Brom, Sheffield United and Burnley. So three teams in the relegation battle right now. So it really isn't a bad idea to lump on Man City players right now. Funnily enough, my differential is also a Man City player, and I've gone for Ilkay Gundogan. 5.4 million is only owned by 0.7% of managers. And in the last four game weeks, he has three goals and seven bonus points. He's been quietly going about his business and getting shit done. He was the man of the match against Chelsea. I was a big Gundogan fan when he was at Dortmund. And ever since he joined City, I've been kind of like, what does he do? What is the point of Gundogan? Because I just have not seen it with him in City. And the last month, he's been excellent. And I don't think he's going to get dropped. Surely not. I don't know who they would put in instead of him, because he's been playing very well. And yeah, on that kind of form, it's the best form he's been in since joining City. So at that price, he's a great option, isn't he? Have I gone mad?
I think he's good if you're looking for a little enabler and someone who's going to play in a team that you're expecting to get good results. I think there's a lot of groans in the City fan base about Gundogan and Rodri playing together. But I think recent fixtures, Rodri has been the enforcer rather than a two-man pivot. And he's pushed forward, hasn't he, Gundogan? And he's shown that he can finish. He can get himself into the box and score goals.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, like you said, enabler, bench boost, he's definitely a great player to have. The only thing is, like, he does take up a Man City place that you would probably want for, say, having two City defenders and another attacker. You would favour De Bruyne or Sterling over him. So while I think he's a great differential, I think maybe you'd want someone else. And like I said, Foden's there as well. There's just too many options. You can't have them all, unfortunately. But it's just funny that we both came up with two Man City differentials. But there you go. I think that's it. I've kept you far too long, Harry. But I am very excited now. I want to hit the free hit button right this second. And,
it's coming.
I just have to be patient. I just have to wait. But yeah, we're almost here. This is the kind of things we wait for, we strategize for, we plan for. People have spreadsheets, they get out the calendar. So we've really talked on longer than we usually do, but this really is an exciting week, and hopefully it goes well for you, my friend. I'm hoping for a bumper score myself, and hope everyone listening at home does really well out of it. We shall see you next week, see how we do. And again, make sure to follow us on Twitter, give us a review on Apple Podcasts, and join our fantasy league. The code is in the episode description. And yeah, we'll see you next week after the double game week.